Well, have you noticed it yet? The days have begun to get shorter. You see, while we gather on the first Sunday of summer, it is 3 days after the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, and now it's getting shorter. And exactly 6 months before after Christmas Eve, or more or less the winter solstice, it is a curious time, isn't it, that the readings here portray the birth of John the Baptist, which we often read during Advent as a means of preparing for the birth of Jesus. But the church wants us to emphasize something here, namely the identity of John the Baptist. Who was John? Not just in his birth, but in his relationship to Christ, a preparing the way of the Lord. For you see, in seeing Jesus, the scriptures have John saying, he must increase and I must decrease. So you see, the church has chosen this particular day, June 24th, as a way of symbolizing these words, that just as John saw himself as decreasing and the Son of God, Jesus, increasing, so too, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, the length of days decrease and the night increases, so that the rhythms of nature correspond with the rhythms of the revelation of Christ. This feast of St. John the Baptist, then, we are invited to ponder the significance of John, not just who he was in the past, but the significance of John today, in the presence, in the future. I find helpful the commentary of Bishop Robert Barron, who points out an important fact about John's parents, namely that John was born into a priestly family. His father was a temple priest, Zechariah, but his mother, Elizabeth, was a descendant of Aaron, the tribe of which Aaron, who was in the tribe of the priests, the first one appointed by Moses to serve as a priest of Israel. His father and mother, no doubt, raised John in and around priests. They wanted him to be a priest, a temple priest. And they had aspirations of this is who he would be. And yet, John does not become a priest. Instead, he goes into the desert. And as biblical scholars believe, he went into the desert to join an ascetic Jewish community called the Essenes, sort of like a community of monks before he began his public ministry. Curious, don't you think, that John did this as a way of making and preparing the way of the Lord. For the Essenes were the ascetic community of believing in a future of a reformed Judaism. Like Jewish monks, they hoped to establish an alternative community and an alternative temple. For at the time, the priests of the temple were having problems, at times scandals, of relating authentically to the people. In this way, John the Baptist is a descendant of a long line of Jewish prophets calling for reformation of faith. Like Isaiah, like Elijah and Elisha and others, John sees the limitations of structures and systems of the Jewish institutions, and so goes into the desert so as to begin it again, a new way of finding and believing and trusting in God, a way that prepared for Jesus. So it is no accident that John baptizes Jesus in the Jordan, for the Jordan River was associated with the culmination of the Exodus. Remember, the Israelites come out of the desert, and the promise of their new future is crossing the Jordan into a new way of believing and living. This is the identity of the Jewish people, crossing the Jordan River. John, by his prophetic teaching in that very river, was preparing for Jesus for something new, a reformation of belief and hope in their dreams, that one day they would get out of the deserts of their desolations and cross over the Jordan into a new world, recapitulating the Exodus. And so many, in so many ways and words, John was offering a new word of freedom, a new liberation from the bondage of certain temple priests and the weakness of religious systems and structures of his time. But notice that John did not draw attention to himself, but as a preparation, as a prophet, he was summing up the new religion, stressing and stretching that what was unfinished was now coming to a finishing point, pointing to the one who would be the definitive temple, the definitive Exodus, the definitive liberator, the definitive prophet, the Messiah. So when he spied Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God," he said, "the one who come to be sacrifice, behold, who would sum up and perfect the temple of his time and for all time. He must increase and I must decrease." This son of a temple priest and a woman, Elizabeth, who comes from that long line of priests, was announcing the arrival of a new high priest, a new temple, a reformation of faith. Brothers and sisters, it seems that we are in a period of time when we seem to be going through a time calling for reformation of the systems and structures of our world, our nation, and indeed our church. When our present Pope chose the name of Francis, he did so mindful of the mission to given to Francis of Assisi, namely, to reform my church. It seems then that in the feast of John the Baptist, the prophet calling for reformation and conversion can serve as a prayerful and prophetic context of this week's shocking announcement about the scandal and the tragedy associated with Cardinal McCarrick. Like the church in Chile, the church in Australia, the church in Scotland and Ireland and elsewhere, people of faith are once again are shocked and disappointed about the behavior of our priests, indeed the leaders of our priests and of our communities. And for many of us here at Holy Trinity Parish who admire and know Cardinal McCarrick, these troubling revelations hit closer to home. Allow me to quote the letters of Cardinal Wuerl and Cardinal McCarrick that may be found on the Archdiocesan website. Cardinal Wuerl writes, quote, "I think we were all shocked and saddened when we learned this past week when Cardinal Theodore McCarrick issued a public statement that a decades-old but credible and substantiated claim of abuse of a minor has been made against him in the Archdiocese of New York when he served there as a priest. Cardinal McCarrick, in his own words, says, 'While I have absolutely no recollection of this reported abuse and believe in my innocence, I am sorry for the pain the person who brought the church charges has gone through, as well as for the scandal such charges cause our people.'" In speaking to some of our parishioners about this, words such as disheartened, disappointed, deeply troubled, anger are readily used. Cardinal Wuerl makes it a point in his letter to say, "It is important that we encourage survivors of abuse to come forward. The Archdiocese of Washington and its Office of Child and Youth Protection offer resources and confidential support to any who have suffered from abuse and who seek our help. We work diligently to ensure that our parishes, schools, and youth programs remain safe and secure for the young people that are entrusted to our care." When I've directed parishioners to the Archdiocesan website, some parishioners wonder if we should do more as a parish. Given the fact that Cardinal McCarrick is a friend to some of you and often presided right here at our liturgies at Holy Trinity and supported and encouraged so many of the parish's programs and initiatives, the revelations are particularly painful, touching home to those who find it hard that these revelations are indeed of a man who we admire. As a result, I'm informing parishioners I will make myself available to speak privately as your pastor. But also, this Wednesday, parishioners are welcome to come to the chapel at 6:15 p.m. after the 5:30 Mass and before the parish council meeting at 7, to come to the chapel and pray and express their concerns prayerfully, to pray for those who have been abused by priests and others, and also to pray for Cardinal McCarrick. Yes, my brothers and sisters, our world, our nation, our church is in need of a reforming spirit that led John the Baptist into the wilderness and into the desert as he preached a message calling for repentance, reform, conversion. As a family of faith, let us pray that in the spirit of John the Baptist, the systems and structures of our church may be reformed so that individually and collectively we may find that the light of John's cousin, the Messiah, the light of Jesus Christ, may increase and the darkness afflicting our church may decrease.